Have you been wanting to start a podcast but not quite sure where to start? If so, I'd love for you to check out my online course called How to Start a Podcast in 24 Hours. Here we'll dive into all of the things you need to get started. Things like how to name your podcast, which microphone to use, how to edit, and lots more. Go to realdavidezell.com to learn more. That's realdavidezell.com to learn more.
Freedom over fame. Freedom over cycle stays the same.
Welcome in, everyone, to How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm your host, David Ezell. Here, we'll talk with business owners and founders on what it's like to ride the roller coaster known as entrepreneurship. How to navigate the highs, the lows, as well as tangible tips that you can use right now to kickstart your business or idea. Let's get to it. Welcome into this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm David Ezell, and today I'm joined by Jeremy Ryan Slate. He's the host of the Create Your Own Life podcast, as well as the CEO of Command Your Brand, which is a PR agency designed to help entrepreneurs share their message by appearing as podcast guests. What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I feel like the house projects never end. So in addition to work and everything else, we're refinishing a bathroom. So before I got in here with you, I was actually staining a vanity. So, you know, that seems to be my life at the moment.
Oh, there's nothing quite like those household projects where it's just like, yeah, that's going to take up all of my evening and that everything's going to be built around that. So I totally I feel you. And we were talking about kids a little bit before we hit record tonight. And between that and the kiddos at home and hoping they don't bust in on the show, got your hands full over there.
Well, we got 24 chickens too. So it's, I got the chickens, I got the pigs. So like, we got a lot of care going on over here, man.
There is a lot. Yeah. Well, because of all that, thank you again for your time tonight. Yeah. I'm glad we could squeeze in a little bit of time tonight to talk all things podcasts and all things Command Your Brand. So any big plans for the holidays? Are you guys staying locally or are you traveling?
We're hosting this year. So my house is going to be invaded by entirely too many people.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to the week between Christmas and New Year's and things kind of slow down a little bit. So yeah, we're hosting. So it's going to get a little busy. You know, obviously it's fun. We're in New Jersey. My parents live in Florida. So we usually put them on FaceTime and bring them in and everything. So it's going to be great. The kids are going to be really excited.
Man, that's so fun. You know, so like my wife is in California, so a lot of her family comes in. Like when we host here in Texas, they all come in, and our house isn't that big. But so whenever we have all the sisters, all the significant others, all the parents and the kids and the dog running around, I mean, it's like you can feel the walls just kind of shaking a little bit. You know, I'm like, man, I guess it's going to hold up, you know, but yeah.
My wife insisted on buying this, 100-year-old farmhouse that we live in. And, it's not huge, though. It's only like 2,000 square feet. So it's like you got to get a few relatives in there, man. It gets small fast.
It definitely does. You run out of spaces. But nice. So let's dive into it. So I really want to talk a lot about podcasting. You are the guy, the expert when it comes to not only your own podcast, but also podcasts of others. So before we dive into the Command Your Brand side of things, let's talk about your podcast, the Create Your Own Life podcast. Where did it come from? What was the inspiration, the naming, all of that kind of stuff?
So I've been a podcast super fan for like ever. Like, so back when I was in grad school, so we're talking like 2009-ish, I was introduced by one of my college professors to a podcast called The No Agenda Show. And it's actually hosted by, it's co-hosted by the podfather himself, Adam Curry. So the guy that invented podcasting. And so I've been a fan for a really long time, man. And for me, I was a high school teacher for a number of years. I went through a whole bunch of different businesses till I finally, was like, screw it. I'm going to end up working at somebody else's business. So I actually ended up working at a friend's marketing agency. I had taught myself how to write CSS and HTML from reading some blog posts and stuff like that. So I was building websites, and I started a podcast just as a hobby. You know, I was like, how can I get access to all these people that I'm reading all these books from? Yeah. And I shot pretty big to start out with. And I had some luck, man. Within the first 100 episodes, I had people like Grant Cardone, Tucker Max. Like, I had a lot of people that I really, really admire. And in our first month, we had 10,000 listens. So we had a lot of success and I had no audience, man. So like for me, it was just like, I was willing to hit the ground running. I had failed at so many things at that point in time. I was like, what's the worst that can happen if I go all in? So, you know, I sent out thousands of LinkedIn messages, thousands of Facebook messages. I was grabbing people's phones and showing them how to subscribe. So I was doing whatever I could because I knew if I created that early momentum, yeah. You know, you could hit a chart somewhere. And that was 2015. So at that point in time, charts were still a really big deal. They don't really matter as much now. But then since there were only 250,000 podcasts at that point in time, like you could hit a chart or something and be in really good shape. So for us, it was really kind of set us up and, changed everything else trajectory wise in my life.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, some of the early ones that I would listen to and still do is like Entrepreneur on Fire, you know, just some of those that have been going for years. And what I really like about that one in particular is he goes a lot into kind of the details as to what he does for his podcast, mm-hmm. how he gets some of the advertisers, how much those advertisers pay, he just kind of gives a little bit of how the sausage is made of the podcasting part. Cause I feel like a lot of times people kind of feel overwhelmed. They're like, well, I'm not a tech guy. I don't know what mic to use. I don't know how to record. Is this done on Zoom? You know, so there's a lot of that kind of thing. And he really kind of helped demystify it for me. I also love entrepreneurship. So it was just kind of one of those things where I love taking in his content before starting my own. So as you guys were getting started, 2015, really starting to get on, you know, some of those top lists and things like that. Were you doing like marketing for it as well? Or was it more of, I've just got to get some episodes under my belt to make me a better host, to refine the process, to make the output better? Where was your head then?
So that's kind of interesting too, because I struggled early on. And I think a lot of podcasters struggle with this, is they're creating this thing and they kind of want it to be like a piece of art, if that makes sense. And you don't want to like, you know, bastardize it with ads or kind of, you know, do all these different things. So for me, it was just like, how can I create the best show I can create? So I was focusing on being a better host. I was focusing on, you know, like, how do I get great interviews? So I was really kind of hitting the ground running, and I found a lot of great strategies, like, you know, using hunter.io, or there's a great tool called Contact Any Celebrity. And I was trying to figure out any way I can get the right people in front of me, because, you know, I had gotten so many conversations under my belt. I had become a pretty good host. You know, it took a few hundred episodes to get there. So for me, that's what I was focusing on early on. And I was, once again, I was working at a friend's company. And then we had kind of this thing that happened in 2016 where we started the first version of what we do. So it was called Get Featured Media. And, you know, in our first 6 months in business, we made multiple six figures in building this, podcast PR agency. And then I kind of got to odds with my co-founder at that point in time. And that's actually where Command Your Brand came from. So for me, it was just building this thing that kept creating attention and just continually creating a better product. Now, one thing I did do is I became a contributor for multiple different websites. So I was writing for business.com. I was writing for Influensive. I was writing for all these blogs, and it was really helping. Yeah. I was also doing a lot of local media and press as well, because I think a lot of people forget about local media and press. And that's a really good way to kind of build a base early on. So I had some local TV appearances and things like that. So that's a lot of what I was doing in those early days. And then for me, frankly, focusing on building the business helped to build everything a lot faster, because, you know, you're kind of more relevant to be on stages and things like that. So, you know, I've spoken all over South America, North America, Europe, Asia, but all those things are fueled by like what I do in the business.
Yeah. So like if you were going to give some advice to somebody that just is thinking about starting a podcast now, you know, I mean, and they may look at it from, well, is the industry saturated? I mean, can my voice be seen changed or heard? Yeah. So kind of go into what you've seen, because you've been doing it for so long and you've seen some of those shifts and tides and things like that. Where should they focus now?
I'll be 100% honest with you, David. Like, were I to start now, I would start with YouTube immediately. Because I think if you're not doing video in 2023, and as we're going into 2024, you're insane. So I think because if you look at it, like YouTube is the world's second largest search engine. So it's much easier to get found in a video podcast than it is an audio only podcast. Discoverability in the audio, as much as I love audio only podcasts, man, that's how I listen. The discoverability is terrible, especially with, you know, over 3 million shows out there as well. I think it's like 3.5 million the last time I saw. So like if I were to start now, I would focus on YouTube. And I will tell you, there's a lot of AI apps that have brought down costs substantially for editing. So one of the things that we do is we record all of our podcasts, like you do actually, on Riverside.fm. But then we actually take and we use an app for Premiere Pro. It's a plugin called Autopod. And what we actually do is we take the guest and host side by side, the guest and then the host, and we take it and make a 3-camera edit from it using Autopod. Autopod automatically does all the cuts in about 60 seconds and creates the whole video for us. So we can take the whole editing process and still it down to that. And then we run it through video.ai so we can create the clips and the segments and stuff like that. And then we've really just focused on video optimization. So the tool that I like, there's a lot of different ones out there, but I know a lot of people prefer TubeBuddy. I'm actually a huge fan of vidIQ. I think there's a really, really good software.
Yeah.
So we've really focused on optimizing YouTube. And I will tell you, David, I've been doing this since 2015, as I said. I grew more in the last 6 months of this year than I did in the last 2 years combined. Because we focused and doubled down on YouTube from June of this year until now. You know, from June through July, I had 1.5 million listens in those 2 months just from YouTube.
Wow.
So if you double down on that, like, I'm not telling you're going to have pay dirt like that immediately, but if you double down on that, I think there's a lot of opportunity and there's a lot of blue ocean out there as well.
Are you eager to dive into the world of podcasting, but not sure where to start? Look no further than How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours. This dynamic course is your ultimate guide to launching a podcast from scratch in just one day. Learn the ins and outs of podcast creation, from content planning to recording, editing, and promotion. Head over to realdavidezel.com to grab your spot in this transformative course. Unleash your creativity, share your passion, and connect with your audience. Start your podcasting journey today with How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours. Do you ever do any of the audio only on YouTube as well? I've seen, you know, kind of some of the pros and cons of that. But to your point, it just feels like video content is just so much more consumable because of Instagram, TikTok, Reels, all that kind of stuff. So I didn't know if there was any validity to just putting the audio on YouTube.
So we used to, and you put like a static image behind it and stuff like
that.
And that was actually like, sure, I've been on YouTube since 2015, but when we actually started making content for YouTube is when it was a difference. Because what happens is people don't come to YouTube to listen to something. They come to YouTube to watch something. And because of that, like, you're one of the most important things is people always talk about views, but watch hours is one of the most vital things on YouTube, because if people are watching your content for an extended period of time, it's good. But when you put up, well, at least in my experience, right? I can only talk to what's worked for me.
Sure.
When we put up that audio only static image ones, our watch hours were terrible because people wouldn't sit and watch it because they're like, well, I can just listen to it. Where can I listen to this?
Right.
So when we started creating content that was for YouTube, that doesn't mean I was making like special interviews. It's just that we were, you know, making better video interviews and making better video content, working on better thumbnails. So like for me, when we were focusing on creating better content is when we saw more growth.
So really more focusing on what the platform is intended for as opposed to just trying to kind of
force feed it. Why do people come here?
Yeah.
Yeah. If people come here for video, they want video, right? So it's like if they want like I listen to audio only podcasts. I'm weird. I know people hate the Apple Podcasts app. I've used it for years, whatever. It's just how I've operated. So for me, like that's how I experience podcasts, because I'm still back in the days of when you would download them, stick them on your 130 gig iPod Classic, and you would stream them. So like, believe it or not that I download them on my computer, I still download them to my iPhone because
awesome.
I'm not on maybe I don't have data when I'm listening to it or whatever. So for me, like, I actually still listen the same way I've always listened. But for a lot of people, like, if they're coming to YouTube, they want video. That's what they're coming for.
That's awesome. And so when did you guys, I mean, I know you talked about you and your former partner when you were building everything else out. Was it just something that you saw when it came to podcasting and the future going forward where you're like, yeah, this is what we're going to wrap our whole business model around, getting entrepreneurs in front of bigger audiences? Is that just kind of something that you saw back then and you saw kind of that blue ocean that was in front of you?
So we actually had started out doing podcast production, and I'm not a video editor or anything like that. So it was expensive, right? And I couldn't like do it in a way that was cost effective. But one of the things we actually did to launch a podcast was get people on good podcasts when they had a new show coming out. And what we found, since we were working with a lot of doctors and busy CEOs, they said, can we just do that? Like, the show's great, but can we just do that? So for us, we just doubled down on that and saw how can we do more of that. And I will tell you, throughout the years, the space has kind of grown. There's a lot more companies that do what I do now. So for us, we've really doubled down on, like, how can we be the premium brand that does this? You know, like we believe it or not, we're actually just talking to Joe Rogan's booker this morning about one of our clients. And like, those are the type of shows that we're working on for clients. And I know there's a lot of people doing like a mid-tier type of program, and that's awesome. But for us, we're focusing on, you know, high visibility, great shows for our clients.
That's fantastic. Where do you feel like the podcast industry as a whole is going, say, over the next 5 or 10? Yeah, you have YouTube with video content, but podcasting in its innate self, where do you see that going in the future?
I think it's all going towards video, because I think, I don't know if you saw the news that this month, YouTube actually opened their RSS feed. So you can actually subscribe to a podcast in a traditional way you subscribe through YouTube.
Yeah,
so that's cool. I do think it's going a lot more towards video. I think we're going to see a little bit of a shakeup in a lot of ways, because, and you probably know a lot of podcasters, like I know a lot of podcasters. A lot of people, I feel like, get into podcasting for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
They get into it the same reason they started a blog, or the same reason they get into a network marketing company, or whatever it may be, because like they think this is going to be the gold rush thing. So yeah. I think you are going to see a lot of those shows go away, and that's fine. You know, it's, you're going to see the cream rise to the top. I think you're going to see people that really want to, you know, go deep and really build something and really kind of create the future, stick around. But I think this is the future of media, man. I really do think it is, because we're seeing, you know, legacy media is dying, because people don't sit down to watch, you know, ABC News at 7 o'clock at night. They don't care. Yeah. They want to watch something when they want to watch it, right? That's why, you know, people have, you know, the binge habits and things like that of listening to things. So I think because it's a user-driven platform, and because there's a lot of creators that have really dug in, I think we're here big time for growth, and I think we're going to see it replacing legacy media. That doesn't mean we don't see legacy media and its death throes trying to get in, but we saw even earlier this year, gosh, I'm trying to remember what company it was. Anyway, it was one of the legacy brands had you know, basically shut down half of their podcast arm because they're trying to spend money the same way they spent it on TV. And that's not how you spend it, right? It's right. Different. It's creator driven. So I think that's where we're going. But I think if you're not doing video in 2024, you're crazy. Like it's what you need to be doing. And it's so much more available because of all the tools that are out here. Like the AI tools that have come out in the last 6 months are incredible.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if we were even talking about some just to help buffer noise with, if you're doing something like this and you have kids at home in the background that can help buffer out that noise when they're ringing the doorbell and everything else, like mine no doubt will at some point tonight.
Well, dude, it's incredible though. Like the stuff that's out there, like there's this one that we started using recently. It's called upscaleanyimage.com.
Yeah.
And because like sometimes you'll get a guest that maybe they're not well known, or maybe you don't have the type of photo you want from them, but they're you found a photo, but it's like low resolution. This can actually pop in that photo, pop up the resolution using AI. Like, dude, the tools that are out there, what you can do as a podcaster now are incredible.
That's fabulous. Noting some of these for my own personal use. Those are fabulous. And so you were talking a little bit about just in the podcasting game, in the video content side, cream kind of rising to the top when it comes to the long tail thing. You know, some people get in it for that gold rush or perceived gold rush. Have you seen a threshold where it comes to, you know, once somebody has 50 episodes or 100 episodes or a certain number of uploads on YouTube that are quality and not just up there for quantity's sake, have you seen there be like a threshold where it's like, okay, that's now the uptick starts, or that's where YouTube starts to see them a little bit differently?
You know, I don't really have any data on that. Like we used to, for audio only, we used to say, you know, if you got past 20 episodes, that was a big deal because that you hadn't really pod faded yet. But for YouTube and for video, you know, this is still a newer focus for us. So I don't really have an answer to that. I know one of the shows we're producing, I think they just went over 10 episodes, and they used to be an audio only show, but we just started producing their video show, and they're starting to hit some critical mass now. So I don't think really the size of the channel matters. I think the quality of the content really does. I think that's important. But in terms of stayability, I think the number one thing that kills shows is they're not making any money. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to kind of change your mindset and how you look at that. A lot of people get into podcasting because they think, you know, it's going to be the Joe Rogan experience, or it's going to be Impact Theory. And, you know, they're going to get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars for ads. And for most people, that's not the way. But dude, I will tell you, you know, we have a mid-sized show. I don't do huge numbers, but I do decent numbers, right?
Yeah.
We make a lot of money off affiliate ads. And what I mean is products that I really like and products I use in my daily life, we promote them, people buy them, and we get a cut of that. And I talk about my experience with that. We do really well with promoting affiliate ads on the show. And the thing you have to consider is that product has to be priced well enough that if you sell a few of them, you make a decent amount of money, right? Like, we have a really great health product we work with that works for parasites, and they're a 50% commission product. So we're doing really well with that product. So like, the money is really in affiliate ads. We make some YouTube creator money too. You know, we make like $1,000 a month off YouTube creator. But you know, I say some things sometimes that get me stuck in YouTube jail, which means I don't always get my creator money, but I know I can always count on my affiliate money. So for me, like, you need to kind of change your mindset on how you're going to make money off your podcast. If you already have a business, you should be promoting your business. Yeah. But if you can figure out how to find products you like and promote those as affiliate, that's where the real money is, man.
Fabulous. Do those affiliates, did you seek them out or did they seek you guys out once you hit a certain point? Or maybe both? Like,
no, you know, it's interesting because like I look at the two main ones we work with. Brave TV Health is a health product we work with. And the other one is MyPillow. Like, I've loved both those products forever. So I'm like, you guys have an affiliate deal? Like, you know, what does that look like? Oh, your affiliate deal is pretty good. Okay, cool. We'll do it. So like, for me, it's like seeking out products that I really like. Because I don't know, I've especially like with podcasting, like your audience looks at what you're talking about in terms of products as a recommendation. Mm-hmm. So it better be something you use and like, or it also hurts your credibility.
No doubt. Because then you'll automatically be kind of known as that person that's just going to put anything up there, regardless of quality, regardless of anything.
So yeah, can I just say one thing to that too?
Yeah,
I
know, of course.
In 2019, Tim Ferriss actually learned a lot about that when they tried to take his show and turn it from an ad-supported model to a listener-supported model. He tried to go like the Patreon route.
Yeah.
And he actually had listeners writing him back saying, Tim, can you bring the ads back because we know you use and like these products. So it's just important to consider. But continue. Sorry, David.
No worries at all. Yeah, and you're right. And it's funny. You like listening to Tim Ferriss's show, like especially when it was the ad-supported model, it was funny because it was like 7 minutes of the beginning of every single episode of his show were ads. But you're right. They were so, it didn't feel forced. It felt like it was something that he uses every day. He's talking about kombucha that he likes in the morning and all of these different things, you know? So to your point, I feel like if you're going to go that route, if you're going to like start to look at the affiliate side of things, it needs to be something that you resonate with, that you can talk to because you have those personal experiences that you use on a daily basis. Just makes everybody happier.
Yeah.
So kind of going back to whenever you were getting really kicked off with Command Your Brand, what were some of those initial hurdles whenever you guys started jumping off into that? When you're like, we're going to build everything out. It's going to be podcast focused. We're going to really focus on entrepreneurs, getting them in front of the right audience. What were some of those hurdles? Whether it's somebody else coming into the market and you're like, man, there's a ton of traffic in this mid-tier market or something else. What were some of those initial ones?
Well, initially, man, like the big thing is like, as I mentioned, I was working at another friend's marketing agency when I started. So the thing was, is it time to jump off or should I keep doing this? And I think that's a big decision for a lot of people. And I got to the point where, you know, I was making less than I was currently making, but like I knew if I gave it all of my attention, we'd make more money.
Yeah.
So for me, that's when I really had to make the decision, can I do this full time? I would say the next really big hurdle is for the first couple years in business, we had like 3 people on our team in addition to myself. And I think the really big decision was in 2020 when the pandemic hit, a lot of people started getting laid off. And I was like, well, this is a great opportunity to hire and expand, right? Because there's a lot of people out there I could hire that I couldn't hire before. So that was a big deal because building a business where you have yourself and like 1 or 2 other employees is very different than building a business with yourself and like 15 to 20 employees.
Sure.
Because you have to worry about things like company culture. You have to worry about things like processes. You have to worry about like running the right statistics. So that was a big hurdle because I had to figure out not just how to like build this business where maybe I could take a few hours off, but it really needed me to function. How do I build something that operates well and that kind of makes the same end product every time? So that was that was a very different experience versus running a smaller business. And then I'll tell you, even in the past 2 years, we changed from the way we changed our costs. We went to a recurring revenue model. So that was even different as well, because initially you take a hit up front because people are giving you, you know, 1/12 of what they previously gave you, but they're giving it to you for 12 months.
Right.
So that was also a big hit to learn how to figure out how to do all those things too. But I'll tell you, the model of the business that we have now is the most stable model of the business we've ever had because we went to that recurring revenue model.
Do you have kind of like a board or like a group of just mentors and things like that whenever you're trying to tackle something like that? Because there's so many ways to look at, should we go the recurring revenue model? Should we do it the full price, at one time model? Do you have kind of like a group that you consult with, or is it just you and maybe some key members of the team?
So my wife and myself are kind of the majority like holders of the business, but we do actually have two other partners in the business that have been in business for many, many years. And they own a small percentage of the company, like under 10%. Yeah. But they're there for a really important advisory capacity. So for me, that's been really, really important to have that from people that have been there. I will also say as well, for the way we run our company, like we look at our companies having like seven different divisions, like sales, marketing, like that's the way we look at it. Mm-hmm. So each one of those division heads is also part of my executive team. So we meet with that executive team every Friday morning as well. And that's kind of, you know, we give our executive team a lot more control over our business than I think a lot of people would give the people over their business. And I think because of that, we've been able to work kind of build something more stable as well. So for us, that's how we've kind of looked at leadership.
And I love the way that you kind of do that. You put some of that onus, you give some of that leadership, and you divide it out equally, but you give those big pieces to those, you know, those key players. Because I feel like whenever you do that, it also opens them up a little bit more. Now they're bringing their creativity, they're bringing their want to and their focus. It's not just, you know, where you and your wife, you guys are making all the say, and yeah, they have some input, but not really. When you're able to kind of give them a lot of that piece of the pie like that, then I just feel like it makes everything better because you're not the one solely focused on production, sales, whatever that side of it is. You're letting the experts run and do what they do best. And then you're just kind of making sure it aligns with where you want Command Your Brand to go.
Well, I think if you do it the opposite way, like you set yourself up in a way that it can never run without you, right? It's always like people are always coming back to you to hear like, what should I do here? What should I do there? What do you think I should do here? And frankly, I heard a talk like, gosh, it's got to be like 6 or 7 years ago now, where somebody said one of the best things that I still use to this day is it's this guy, Emmett Osborne, is an awesome speaker. And he said he runs this big energy company. They sell gas and oil. And he said when his executives come to him and they're like, you know, we got XYZ problem, he'll look at him and go, that's an interesting problem. What would you do about that? And it's interesting because, like, number one, you get somebody to approach it differently because I don't know why there's fireworks on my screen.
I don't know, but for anybody watching, it's fabulous. I didn't know if it was you, if something you said or that made it go off.
I got to figure out how to make that not happen. It's the new MacBook update. And anyway, he asks them that question because it does two different things. Number one, it puts them in more of a creative state. So they're thinking about, okay, well, what solution can I create to this? Mm-hmm. Number two, it puts them in a position of, okay, I have to solve this because he's not letting me solve this. And frankly, like let's say you ask somebody that question and they're like, I don't know. You'd be like, oh, okay, well, what problem would that create if we don't handle that, right? You find different ways to get somebody in a creative way to kind of solve that. That, to me, that's one of the best pieces of advice I've ever received.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly the way that it should kind of go. Just that way you have everybody operating in the same capacity. So what's next for Command Your Brand? Where do you see you guys going in the next 5 or 10?
So actually right now in the last couple months, as I mentioned, like because of all the AI tools, costs have changed drastically on podcast production. Yeah. We're actually back to producing podcasts now in addition to, you know, though it's been like a 6-year hiatus at this point in time, or 7-year hiatus at this point in time from doing that. We're now producing podcasts in addition to booking podcasts because not only can we produce a great show, we're also optimizing for YouTube and stuff like that as well. So we're actually helping those shows get seen. So really that's what we're focusing on right now. You know, I'm also, we had some pretty big stages last year, one in Thailand and then one in Mexico and things like that. So I'm really trying to focus on, getting some bigger stages this year too, because that visibility does help the company. And, you know, when I speak at the right events, it helps us. That's really what we're focusing on, is adding a really good, production service to what we do. And also, you know, just trying to hit some bigger stages.
Well, Jeremy, this is fantastic. I want to make sure that everybody can keep up with you, all the amazing things that you're doing, Command Your Brand, everything. So where can people keep up with you?
Yeah, if they want to check us out over at commandyourbrand.com, they can find just about anything they're looking for over there. We also have a really great resource for you. If you're somebody that's like, you know, I really don't know the basics of PR, I really don't know the basics about getting on a podcast, we have a great tool called The 7 Reasons You're Not Getting Booked on Your Favorite Podcast. And you can get that over at commandyourbrand.com/7reasons. It's a really great tool, really great resource that'll help you to, you know, not make a lot of the mistakes I made and start to create some motion a lot earlier than I did.
Well, that's fabulous. And I'll make sure that all of this is linked in the description so people have super easy time finding everything that you're doing. that right there, because like you said, that is super valuable information so that you don't get stuck in, you know, kind of hung up on some of those spaces where you can really kind of have that little boost to jump over it. But Jeremy, this has been fantastic. And thank you again for your time. I know there's a lot going on and family coming in, but I appreciate you carving out a little time this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform, and connecting on social. You can subscribe and follow on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real David Ezell. To learn more about being a guest on the show, go to realdavidezell.com to find out more. Until next time.